53. Okay. Where's Lexi? Okay, we want to sing happy birthday. Lexi, can we sing happy birthday to you? She's like, yeah. Okay, one, two, three. Happy birthday to you. And she's cuter than you, sorry, brother. Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. Pens, your lesson plan. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. If you're a visitor, welcome to the Rock. We know you're on vacation. Well, you're here on the vacation holiday. Vacation or running from someone. We hope they don't find you. We are going through the book of Genesis. We started in January, and we are in Genesis 19. We are going to study the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. When I was a youngin', we used to refer to our girlfriends as flings. F-I-F-L-I-N-G. It's your flang or flang. F-L-A-N-G, depending on how you want to pronounce it. And we used to refer to gay people, in one of the words, as flames, because they were burning in lust for one another. The title of today's message is Sodom and Gomorrah, a city inflamed. Because the city of Sodom and Gomorrah was full of homosexuality, and we'll see, was violent and aggressive and militant. And I want to tell you and inform you that any city, society, whether it be a city or a nation or a community, that endorses homosexuality or sexual perversion as normal behavior is going to be judged by God and is going to experience moral decay. I'm going to say that again because I know many of us have family and friends who are gay, we love. We think the Bible and Christians are judgmental. But our job is to say what the Bible says and give people a heads up. In any society, community that endorses homosexuality as normal and natural behavior will be judged by God and experience moral decay. Morality is a standard of right and wrong. When you break the moral law, which there is a moral law, there are consequences. Now, you may hear people say it's all relative. There is no absolute moral law, that morality is relative, and I disagree. Morality is very absolute. Example, rape is wrong worldwide from the beginning of time until today. No one will disagree with that, and if someone does, everyone would think that they're immoral. That's a moral law, an absolute moral law. Murder is wrong worldwide. People don't think murder, especially of children and innocent people, is wrong. They are considered immoral. Why? Because that is an absolute moral law. Molestation of children, lying, on and on and on and on. People who lack courage. The reason Pat Tillman's story, the football player who turned away his contract to go fight in the military and was killed, they believe now by friendly fire, is he was such a courageous guy, and everybody universally will say he made a very courageous decision to leave the NFL. Why? Because courage is another moral law. It's another moral absolute that is respected worldwide. So there is a moral law that God has given us. And when you break God's laws, moral, biological, psychological, emotional, physiological laws, there are consequences. And if a society says homosexuality, which is against God's law, or any sexual sin, adultery, fornication, when you endorse that lifestyle, you will experience moral decay in that culture, and God will eventually judge that culture. So it's going to start in Romans chapter 1, and we're going to see one of the causes of this moral decay. Now, if you're wondering in your mind, am I saying that homosexuals are immoral people? I know some of y'all thinking that. I will say this. Homosexuality is immoral behavior. Adultery is immoral behavior. Even Kobe Bryant admitted that. What I did was wrong. And people who persistently act immorally, you must conclude that they are immoral to some degree. So you make that conclusion however you want. Or take that any way you want. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. A couple of reasons for this immoral behavior. And it is going to go deeper than you think. And there's a lot more involved than I just described. So that's why I need to read this to you. It says, Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. God refers to people who suppress his truth as ungodly and unrighteous. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. What may be known of God is manifest in all of us. That's why we have these moral laws. That's why rape is wrong to all of us instantly. Why? Because what may be known of God and his laws is in us. Murder is wrong. We know it instantly because what may be known of God and his righteous laws is in us. But many people reject his moral law. Let's keep reading. Verse 19. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, not the evolution, and not the result of evolutionary process of chance, the creation of the world, since God created the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that we are without excuse. Ever since God created the world, his invisible attributes, his power, his wisdom, his intelligence, his ability to create, his ability to organize and strategize, his creativity of all the colors and all the different nationalities, all the different fish, birds, air, star, moon, black holes, supernovas, all the things God made. Ever since the beginning, his invisible attributes, those things I just described, his love, his patience, are so clearly seen, if you study what he made, that men are without excuse. And for someone to say, I study what God made and reject God, they are subject to God's judgment. They're suppressing the truth. Anyone who's ever seen a baby who lives 40 weeks in water, never breathed a breath of air, come out of a woman and all of a sudden breathe, and know what happens in their heart and lungs for that to happen, and to say that there is no God, who? They reject the truth of God. God says that is so awesome that you cannot accept that no one designed that. You can't look at your eye and know and go study how your eye works. And not agree that someone designed that eye, that something that complex and ingeniously created evolved on its own. Let's keep reading. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man. Birds, four-footed animals, and creeping things. In other words, professing to be wise, we reject the evidence of creation, and we're going to say that it created itself, and we're going to worship the created thing. Why do people call nature Mother Nature? Why? Because there's a belief system that says that the earth is a mother. The planet Earth is a life-giving organism like a mother. The earth is not a life-giving organism like a mother. God created the earth and put in it the ability to grow things and gave it the water and the oxygen, but God did all that. The earth is not a living organism all on its own. That's a philosophy of science. It's a philosophy, not a science. It's called evolution. Verse 24. Therefore, because men suppress the truth, because men don't worship the Creator, because men don't acknowledge God's invisible attributes in his creation, therefore he will give them up to uncleanness. Everyone say uncleanness. In the lust of their hearts, say lust of their hearts. To dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchange the truth of God for the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We are going to worship the created thing instead of the Creator. We see this today. We don't want to hear the Bible. We don't want to acknowledge God. We want to acknowledge science, and we want to worship ourselves. Verse 26, for this reason, God gave them to vile passions. For even women exchange the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust for one another, men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, God, backbiters, and God haters, on and on and on and on and on. What God is saying here is that when you reject God's truth and you engage in this lifestyle, men committing what is shameful, men with men, what is shameful, and receiving the penalty of their error, women with women, what the Bible calls is shameful, you will receive a penalty. Now, let's stop right there. Many people say, oh, I don't believe the Bible. I don't accept the Bible as truth. Well, let me tell you something very amazing about the Bible. When God tells you something is wrong, he will not only tell you that it's wrong, he will tell you there's going to be evidence that it's wrong, whether you believe it or not. In other words, God has set up moral laws, biological laws, emotional laws, psychological laws. And when you break those laws, there are consequences. You can sit here and tell me, I don't believe there's gravity. Go on the top of this building and shout to the top of your lungs, I don't believe there's gravity. What you believe is irrelevant. As you fall to bust your head in the concrete, the gravity will say, so you didn't believe in me. And many people say, I don't believe in the Bible, so I don't have to live by it. I don't believe homosexuality is wrong. Let me tell you something. God said it's wrong. There's going to be consequences. When you break God's law, you suffer consequence. The evidence that there's a moral law is not only because everybody worldwide believes that certain things are true. The evidence that there's a moral law is that when you break the law, there's a consequence. If there's no law, there's nothing to be broken. And if there's a moral law, there's a moral lawgiver. Now, many of you have people who you love dearly that are gay. And I spoke to a girl Tuesday night. I spoke on this Tuesday night in the church, and we spoke for 20 minutes, and she was trying to argue / discuss with me, try to justify her brother's homosexuality. And I said, let me tell you something, girlfriend. You are trying to justify your brother's behavior because you don't want him to be wrong because you love him. I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, it's wrong. And the fact of the matter is, he is going to suffer consequences. And if you really want to love him, you will tell him the truth. You won't tell him a lie. You won't sit there and tell somebody because they're an alcoholic, you know, I love you, and because I love you, you're an alcoholic, it's okay to keep drinking. And you're going to see in a minute the length of time that a lifespan is cut down by alcoholism is 3 times with homosexuality. In other words, alcoholism cuts 5 to 10 years off of life. Homosexuality for two men cuts 25 to 30 years off your life. So if you want to tell them it's okay, and you want to know, and as our culture wants to normalize it, you have to understand the consequence is coming. God's judgment is coming. Let me read some stats to you. And here's what's interesting. When you break God's law, there's evidence of breaking God's law. And I'm going to give you some evidence, physiological evidence, biological evidence, emotional evidence that this is wrong. Moral evidence is this is wrong. Number one, there's only 1% of people who are gay, not 10%. When they did the report, William Kingsley did the report, he used in his survey male prostitutes, and I think 44% of the people he surveyed were prison inmates who engaged in homosexual acts in prison. That was his survey. And that's how he got to 10%. It's about 1% of the population is gay. 1% of the population is turning this whole culture around with their agenda. 1%. Why? Because the masses are not saying anything. That's it. History has always been determined by a motivated minority group of people. Never the majority, I should say never, rarely majority. It's a very small group of people that were very aggressive and determined. That's what we're seeing today. Number one, it's only 1%. Number two, there's physiological evidence that sodomy, which we get the word from Sodom and what was going on in Sodom, is wrong. I was in the prison, and I heard a story about these inmates who stabbed these guards with knives that were dipped in human feces. And their goal was to poison the guards. They weren't going to kill them with the knives. They were going to poison them with the feces. Why? Because human feces is the most poisonous, toxic thing in your body. And where it comes from is physiologically designed for nothing to go in it. The tissue is not designed to stretch. That's why it rips. That's why there is infection. Physiologically, God said, do not put anything in this air of your body. And yet people want to teach you and the children and yours and our children who are in schools that it is normal. Oh, no. Number one, physiological. Number two, the biological and health results of this physiological incompatibility. homosexual, male homosexual is has a 430 times more likely to get HIV. Now, I know you hear heterosexuals get HIV. Yeah, that is true. But if you're gay, the chance of you getting HIV are 430 times higher. If you're a heterosexual, you have 1 in a 715,000 chance of getting AIDS. If you are gay, you have a 1 in a 165 chance of getting AIDS. If you are 20 years old and you're a gay man, 30% of all 20-year-old gay men will have AIDS or be dead by AIDS by the age of 30 years old. Now, this is what we're telling little kids. This is normal. There are biological ramifications. You are 6 times more likely to contact gonorrhea, 8 times more susceptible to deadly liver-destroying hepatitis, 14 times more likely to have syphilis, 23 times more likely to have a venereal disease. And they want to tell you that this is normal. 90% of all gay men have chronic and recurrent viral infections with herpes. It's a moral problem. 1/3 of all sex crimes against children is done by homosexuals. They only comprise 1% of the population. About 75% of all gay men have 50 or more partners. 43% of all gay men have 500 partners in their lifetime. And 28% of all gay men have 1,000 partners in their lifetime. This is the lifestyle they want to teach our culture is normal. San Francisco Sentinel, which is a Bay Area gay activist newspaper, published a piece arguing that pedophilia is central to the male homosexual life, and there is a group, NAMBLA, North American Man-Boy Love Association. Here's their agenda. If we can lower the consent age for sex, consent age, where not only you have to be 18, but you can be 16 and 14, like in Austria, the consent age is 14 years. A 14-year-old child can have sex with whoever they want, an adult. It's not rape. You know what happens when that happens? That men can have sex with boys legally. Today, that's against the law. They lower the age, it's not against the law, but the act is still wrong. But the law will make it legal, but it's still wrong. That's the agenda. And when you're going to read in the story today that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. Now let's turn to, one more, emotional danger. One of the emotional consequences is that homosexual men are 5 times more likely to commit suicide. 5 times more likely to commit suicide. You have a friend, a family member that's gay? The chance of them committing suicide is 5 times higher. AIDS, venereal diseases, being depressed, being involved in sexually deviant behavior, disease in their throat, disease all over their body, et cetera, are higher because they are breaking the laws of God. Whether they think the laws of God exist is irrelevant. Whether they believe in the Bible is irrelevant. The fact of the matter is that's their life. And all you have to do is go talk to a few people who are gay. Go to a gay community and check it out. Go to an emergency room and ask them about the gay people who come in there with issues because of what they were doing. It's not right. And there's evidence far beyond the Bible saying it's wrong. Now turn to Genesis chapter 19. You ask me, why am I saying this? Well, one, we're in Sodom and Gomorrah. And this story is so appropriate to where we are as a society, as a country, as a city, as Christians. And there is a role for us as Christians, and the role is clear in this story. Very simple story. The city of Sodom was rampant with homosexuality. The Bible says that God, the Lord God, Jesus in the Old Testament, and 2 angels came to rescue the righteous out of this city. The righteous was Lot and his family. Lot was Abraham's nephew. They stopped by Abraham's house to tell him what they're going to do. Abraham says, and he has a discussion with God that we're going to go over in a minute. The angels go down to the city. The gay people of the community surround the house of Lot and demand that they bring the male angels. They didn't know they were angels. They thought they were just men. Bring them out of the house so they could have sex with them. That's what the story is. God, the angels strike those men with blindness, take Lot and his family out of the city, and God fires fire and brimstone on the city. Now, I'm always thinking, man, that's crazy, fire and brimstone. We have a picture of these asphalt balls that God threw down on the city from archaeology. Look at this picture right now. Picture number one, at the bottom, you see a small, what they call a sulfur ball, I should say, embedded in the ruins of Sodom. They know where it's at. In the next picture, you'll see it all over the ground. These are called sulfur balls, evidence that God did fire down fire and brimstone. If you don't believe it, go on the internet. It's there. So God judged this city because of its sexual immorality. And we're going to learn some insights. Look in your notes. Number one, in your notes, there are societal repercussions for endorsing homosexuality. And you're going to see in a minute, I don't want you to miss this, you and I have a responsibility. We can't just stand by and just do nothing. There are societal repercussions for endorsing homosexuality. One, there is a rejection of moral standard. We just read that. God will turn them over to a depraved mind. What does that mean? That God says, you go ahead and do whatever wicked thing you want, and my activity in your life to convict you is going to be different than if I didn't turn you over to a depraved mind. That's like God saying, go ahead. He's going to warn you. You get to a point where you are so vile that he says, go ahead and do whatever you want. That is not a place you and I want to be, and it's not a place our country wants to be. You know this country is blessed of God. We arrogantly think it's our intelligence. We arrogantly think it's our governmental system. Oh, yeah, God instituted the Constitution based on the Word of God. And his blessing is on our country. That blessing can leave. He can take his hand off our country. He can take his hand off your life. Don't arrogantly think we're better than people around the world. His hand is on this country. But his hand can leave. You ever wonder why, as all that the Jews been through for centuries upon centuries, people trying to annihilate them left and right. It's not even in the Bible. People trying to annihilate them by the millions. And they're still going strong. Why? Because God's got a plan for them. That's it. God. Look at chapter, one more thing. Look in your notes. The recruitment of the young is also a result of endorsing homosexuality. You're going to see in a minute that the young and the old gay men of the city surrounded this house. Now, are we recruiting young in this country? Yes. This country, when you teach little kids that cross-dressing, being a transvestite and being gay is natural and normal, you are putting in their mind, it is a very subtle recruitment plan of Satan. One of the slogans of the gay community is that we can't reproduce, so let's recruit. And what God is doing, what the devil is doing is recruiting kids in the schools that our kids go to. He's putting it in their mind, maybe you're gay. It's okay to be gay. Maybe you're a girl and you're really a boy. Maybe you're a boy and you're really a girl. Cross-gender. That's happening in California. You can change your sexuality. Your gender is your perceived sexuality, not your physical makeup in California. Harvard University is making their bathrooms gender friendly because so many people are confused about their sexuality. Professing to be wise, they became fools. This is happening today. Harvard University. So many people, I don't know what I am. Okay, well, let's make the bathrooms where you can go anywhere you want to go. Look at chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 1, it says, the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom, and Lot saw them. He arose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the ground, and he says, hear now, my lords, please turn into your servant's house and spend the night. Wash your feet, then you may rise early and go your way. They said, no, we will spend the night in the open square. But Lot insisted strongly, so they urged him, and he entered their house. They entered his house, and he made a feast and baked unleavened bread. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. And they called to Lot and said, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally or have sex with them. Old and young, militant, violently said, we want you to bring those men out so we can have sex with them. Men on men. Look what the Bible says. Verse 6, Lot went out to meet them through the doorway, shut the door behind him, and says, please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly. See, now I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please bring let me bring them out to you. You may do to them as you wish. Now, I don't know what Lot was thinking. They should have left that brother behind because I don't know what he was thinking. only do nothing to these men since this reason they come under my roof. Then the gay men said, stand back. And they said, this one came to sojourn, and he keeps acting as a judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to break down the door. They said, we don't want your daughters. We want the men. We want the men. Look in your notes. The role of the righteous. The righteous persistently pray for protection. One of the things we have to do as righteous people is persistently pray that this agenda would not be completely fulfilled and unrolled in our society. Now, our society already says, well, gay people, gay homosexuality is normal. Next thing you know, now we're going to teach it to little kids, and we're going to institutionalize it through marriage. And then we're going to silence and mute the pastors from preaching against it. That's already happened in Canada, by the way. It's a hate crime, or becoming a hate crime, to speak against homosexuality in Canada today. A young man right here in California, right here in San Diego, 15 minutes from right where we stand, recently went to high school with a shirt. It says homosexuality is a sin. And he quoted Romans 1:18, 32. The reason he wore the shirt, because they were having a day of silence in honor of homosexuality in his school. They brought him into the office, said, if you don't take the shirt off, we're going to suspend you or kick you, expel you from school. Freedom of speech? No. Then he says, I'm not taking my shirt. If you don't take your shirt off, we're going to suspend you for 2 days. Nope. They brought in the police. The police interrogated him for wearing a shirt with a Bible verse on it and the Bible truth on it. It's just one thing leads to another. Look what it says in your notes. We must pray. The righteous protect the city by their presence. Now, we're not going to read it now, we don't have time, but in chapter 18, when the Lord God, and by the way, when you see the Lord in the Old Testament, or the angel of the Lord with a capital A, that's Jesus. When the Lord God was talking to Abraham, Abraham says, Lord, if there's 50 righteous people in the city, will you burn it up, the wicked and the righteous? The Lord says, I won't burn up if I find 50. What about if you find 45? He says, if I can find 45 righteous people, I won't burn it up. What if you find 40, 30, 20, 10? He kept going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, negotiating with God. What is that called? Prayer. That's all it is, prayer. The Lord said, if I find 10 righteous people, I will not burn the city up. Let me tell you something. One of the reasons God has not judged this country more than he has is the righteous. But let me tell you something. Righteous does not mean people who go to church. It don't mean people who claim Christ as their Savior. It means people who are living it. There's a big difference. There's a whole lot of people, millions of people in church right now, and a whole lot of them ain't righteous. What does that mean? Living according to the Word of God. So they don't count. The righteous people need to be righteous. And you can come here and say, oh, praise the Lord, word, but not live it. You don't count. God can't count on you. You're just taking up a seat. You might not have a seat in heaven, though. Only God knows that, but let me tell you something. You shall know them by their fruit, not by their church attendance, unless your church attendance is by faith. Amen. Look in your notes. Oh, by the way, the reason that God didn't burn the city up is because the righteous were there. And Abraham kept praying and praying and praying. Lord, lower your threshold, please, just for 10 people. God says, okay, if I find 10. He only found 4. He took those 4 out, burnt the city up. Sulfur balls we saw on the thing. Look in your notes. The righteous pray for God's intervention. If anything, pray that little kids don't get poisoned by this in school. If anything. Listen, if you got these adults wanting to do perverted things and kill themselves and they choose to do that, hey, all we can do is tell them. But we have to stand in the gap and protect the children. We have to. And if anything, pray. If anything, pray for our kids. Matter of fact, we have a sheet. When you leave here today, if you want to make your voice heard in Sacramento, here in San Diego, pick the sheet up and we'll give you information to give. We also have a DVD that Focus on the Family did, a simulcast they did on this topic. We have it in the bookstore. Get this CD of the sermon that I'm preaching right now. If you're from out of town, give it to your pastor. Say, we need to do something. Because kids are being poisoned right now with this ideology. Next one. We need to pray for the righteous need to pray for God's intervention. The righteous need to provide security for the needy. Look at chapter 19, verse 9. 19, verse 9. I'm sorry. 19, verse 1 to 3. It says, the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting at the gate of the city. And when Lot saw them, he arose to meet them and bowed his face to the ground. And he says, hear now, my lords, please come to my house and spend a night. Wash your feet. I'll eat you, feed you. And then early in the morning, you got to go. The gate of the city was the entrance of the city. And Lot's sitting there looking out, seeing who's coming. And when he sees these newcomers, he goes, fellas, hurry up over here. No, we want to sleep outside, they said. He said, no. You cannot sleep outside. You need to come to my house. As a righteous man, I am representing God, and I need to offer protection for you. Please come to my house because this is not a safe place. And matter of fact, after you get up in the morning, you got to get out of here because it's dangerous before they can even go to bed. Bring those men out. We want to have sex with them. That's our role. Call your kids' school up and ask them two questions. Do they believe that homosexuality is normal and natural? Remember, if you break a law, if it's natural, there's no consequences. But if it's unnatural, the consequences will be evident. And I read those to you. And you can go and find a ton more of consequences because it's unnatural. Ask them if they believe it's natural and healthy. And then ask them, are you telling the children that? Your children. Because if you don't tell your children the right thing, the school will tell them what they believe is right. And before you know it, they'll be looking at you like you're crazy because you believe in the Bible. Call your school up. That's your job, to protect the innocent. Next one. The righteous point out sin and coming judgment. And when I say point out sin, not you're a sin and I'm not, you're unrighteous and I'm not, but this is wrong. And God is going to deal with it. As iron sharpens iron, so another man sharpens another man. Now, whether you know gay people or not, some of you know people who are committing adultery. Some of you know people who are fornicating. Now we're talking heterosexual. It's sin too. Some of you know people who are abusing drugs. As a Christian, someone who loves God and someone who loves that person, your responsibility is to tell them that. This young lady I was arguing with Tuesday night, trying to protect her brother, I said, look, if you love your brother, you need to tell him the truth. Don't tell him what he wants to hear. Tell him the truth, because in the end, he's going to face God. And in the end, he's going to be judged by God. Whether you believe that or not, it's true. You know, in about 5 or 10 minutes, all y'all are going to walk out of here. That's a fact. Now, you could stay if you want. But I think about 11 o'clock at night, they shut the door, close the lights, and you got to go. You don't have to go home, but you got to get up on out of here. That's a fact. I was driving here this morning, and this police officer flew by me. I was going under the bridge, and he came flying on the on-ramp. He was on a motorcycle. He was yanking and banking. He banked to the right, banked to the left, flew over 5 lanes, going about 90 miles an hour to catch up to this car that was going probably about 80. I don't know how far that car, fast that car was going. I just know I was in the slow lane, abiding by the law. Thank God. And he went, wow, wow, wow. And I was like, go ahead, brother. Wow, wow. Had his red and blue lights on. Woo, 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 woo. And that dude driving that car that got stopped, he might have in his mind thought, I'm not doing anything wrong. Or everyone else is doing it. Or I'm not going to get caught. Or I was born this way. There's no evidence of at all being born gay. It doesn't matter what got him to 85 miles an hour. He was wrong. And the policeman stopped him. It don't matter how you get there. How you get there doesn't determine whether there is wrong or right. You catch somebody in the bed with your wife, it don't matter how he got there. It don't matter what she said. It's wrong. Look in your notes. Oh, I'm sorry. The righteous point out sin and judgment. Turn to chapter 19, verse 9. It says in 19, verse 9, they said, stand back. They said, this one came to sojourn, and he keeps acting as a judge. He keeps acting as a judge. You ever hear people, Christian people, be called judgmental? Oh, yeah. It's right there. Why? Because people who want to do what they want to do don't want to hear that it's wrong. If someone comes up to me and points out something that I'm wrong, which happens, if they're right, I'm wrong. Who am I to, how can I say you're judging me if they're right? The Bible is right. And you will be called judging people. All we're doing is pointing out sin. You know, it's like every day we got a whole station called Court TV. You know what that station is based on that logic? It's a judgmental show. And it's a judgmental system because we're telling people they're wrong. Why? Because there's right and wrong. Isn't that interesting? Look at the next one. The righteous response of God. One, God will send a warning. God will send a warning. He sent the angels, please get out. Look at chapter 18, verse 20. If you ever hear someone say, what did the Lord Jesus ever say against homosexuality? Well, one, the whole Bible is the word of God. Jesus is the word. The word was with God. The word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. All the Bible is Jesus' words. But if you really want to get technical, what did Jesus say from his mouth? It's not only the red letters. Look in verse 20. This is Jesus speaking right here. It says in verse 20, the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. You know what God said? It's grievous. I've heard it. Look at chapter 19, verse 13. 19, verse 13. For these are the angels speaking. We will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Who was crying out to God? I'm going to take two guesses. One, it was the righteous. God, please come down and deal with this. But I'm going to guess, and I could be wrong, that it was the little kids who was suffering because of it. It's not natural. Therefore, you will suffer. You know, if you molest a child, which is not natural, they suffer. If you do what our schools are teaching is normal, they suffer psychologically, physically, emotionally. They suffer. And I wonder how many little kids today are experiencing this inner turmoil of why they hurt, but they don't know why. And why homosexuals five times more likely to commit suicide? It's not because they're discriminated against. I got discriminated against. Women get discriminated against. You don't see them killing ourselves because of it. No, you just fight. The reason they're depressed is because of God's judgment and the alienation from God and the emotional stress of the sin itself, the judgment of the sin itself. God turning someone over to depraved mind. And all these little kids, I can't imagine little kids that are suffering thinking, this is not right, but I'm being told it's right. Why am I suffering? God, help me. I wonder how many of those cries God hears. Look in your notes. God will save the righteous. In Genesis 19, 15 and 17, the angels grabbed Lot and his family's hand and dragged him out of the city. And thirdly, God will stop the spread of sin through judgment. He will stop the spread of sin through judgment. And lastly, the results of indifference. Many of you are saying, well, that's your battle. You don't want to argue that. I'm not getting involved. Okay. Chapter 19, verse 12. Matter of fact, if you look in your notes, just write down, God is not joking. God is not joking. Look at chapter 19, verse 12. It says there. It says, the angels, the men, said to Lot, have you anyone else here? son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in this place, take them out of this place. Basically, they were telling Lot, all your family, go get them, because God's judgment is coming. And in verse 13, it says, we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. This is going to happen. And when I'm telling you God's going to judge this community, this country, because of this stance, somehow, I don't want it to happen. I love America. But let me tell you something. America's blessed because we walk with God. When we start walking with God, what difference are we to any other country? And when God judges it, you want to be aware that it's coming. And look what it says in verse 13. He says, we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great against the face before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And look what it says in verse 14. Lot went and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. Oh, you don't believe that Bible stuff. God's not going to do anything to San Diego, to America, because of that? Come on. Okay. He ain't joking. I want you to ask yourself the last time you sinned against God or an area of your life where you're walking away from God. The only reason you are not dead and the only reason you may have only gotten a disease or only gotten your heart broke, or only destroyed your marriage, or be depressed, or lost money in a business deal. The only reason that's the only thing that happened is because of God's grace. If God judges according to our sin, we'd be dead. The penalty of sin is death. God ain't joking. And don't mistake his patience, his long suffering, for indifference. Don't mistake the fact that he has destroyed you for he approves of you. Unconditional love is not unconditional approval. And God unconditionally loves you, but that does not mean he unconditionally gives you the right to do whatever you want. He is saying, I am going to accept you as you are, but once I accept you, I am going to transform you. My challenge to you, my encouragement to you, when you leave here today, is that you pick up one of these blue sheets, that you go to the bookstore and pick up the sermon of this tape, in this DVD, if you're from another church, tell your pastor, call your school up of your kids, contact the state and local officials. Is this a lot? Yeah, but you know what? It's worth it. It is. And when you drive through your community on Tuesday, when school goes back in session, and you see these little kids taking little book bags to school, I want you to think about what I just told you. And I want you to wonder what they're being told in school. And I want you to wonder and think about what they're going to think about when they're in 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, 9th grade, 12th grade, because they're going to hear a little bit every year. And by the time they get in high school, guess what? There are going to be no boundaries to sexual behavior. They can do whatever they want to whomever they want, dress however they want. They could be a girl, boy, girl. It doesn't matter. And that's going to be our culture. And all hell is going to break loose, because guess what? When you take the word of God out and you infuse and replace it with sexual deviance, there is no rule. There's no morality. That's what's going to happen. That is happening today, unless the righteous stand up and do something about it. My encouragement to you, let's go, let's get busy. Let's represent God. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you for being so patient with us. Dear Lord, we are betting the farm on your word, on your faithfulness, on your righteousness. We believe your word to be true. We believe you are a loving, patient God, but that you require holiness, repentance. You require righteousness in the inner man. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here and listening on CD. Someone who may hear this message a month from now in their room all alone, having questioned their sexuality, they would understand you love them. But you have a plan and you have guidelines to your plan. And when those guidelines are broken, there are consequences. But there's also a plan of redemption. And I just want to lead people in a prayer right now. If you believe and you want God to forgive you and restore you, just pray with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, please forgive me of my sin. I know you love me. And I believe that it's not too late for me to know you and to walk with you. Please set me free. Please don't turn me over to a debased mind and vile passions. Please cleanse me, Lord. Restore me to a right relationship with Jesus Christ. If you prayed that prayer, just slip your hand up real high. We can pray for you. Good. Slip your hand up. Good. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you, God. Lord, may we represent the righteous. May we not be indifferent. May we not think this is irrelevant and that it's a joke. May we realize that it's real. May we not be deceived by what we see on TV. People can put a pretty face on sin and uncleanness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being patient. Use us. Give us the courage to stand up for what's right. In Jesus' name, amen. As you leave, we're going to have people under the screens that will pray for you. If you want prayer for anything, please come on up. God bless you. See you next week.